As I said last week, we'll be looking at six very familiar New Testament stories during this series. And to help us maintain our focus, we will be looking at how the presence of Jesus transforms the people in the story, with the aim that his presence with us will transform us similarly. Today, our title is Known by Jesus. And we're going to look again at the story of the Samaritan woman at the well from John 4 and verse 1. So we're going to be reading from John 4, verse 1 to 26. John 4, verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the water and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become a spring in him, a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't go thirsty and have to come here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it was written down many years ago, but that each and every day it can be fresh to us through the power of the Spirit. So this morning we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would cause your words to live in us. Speak clearly to us, we pray, that we might hear you and be transformed by the presence of Jesus in our lives. So Lord, we submit ourselves to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. For the observant among you, you will have noticed that we looked at exactly the same passage 2 weeks ago. Last time we asked the question, have you stopped bubbling up and overflowing with life? And we sought to offer several scriptural encouragements as to how to revitalize our spiritual lives and suggested how we might make this life, this spiritual life, overflow and available to our community. It's interesting for me as a preacher to come to a passage that I preached just 2 weeks ago and come again, but have a different focus. And it's a challenge because you have to then seek God and say, what is it that you're saying today in a fresh way? And it would be interesting to see if over a period of time one could preach the same passage time and time again and seek new things from the Lord out of it. Today's title is Known by Jesus. So we're going to consider how the knowledge that Jesus had of this woman transformed her and how his knowledge of us can change us too. We're going to look under the headings, Jesus knows our dubious story and works with it. Jesus knows our deepest need and meets it. And Jesus knows our darkest secrets and loves us. So those are our headings. That's where we're heading this morning. Listen again to these verses. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." This may seem blindingly obvious, but Jesus knew that this woman was a Samaritan woman. In actual fact, we all know that from the story. We see it in those first couple of words, a Samaritan woman. And it doesn't take a genius to work that one out. But it's not the knowledge that is amazing. It's what Jesus does with that knowledge that is amazing. He knew that the Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. He knew the position of women in society. So when it was a Samaritan woman, he would have known that he wouldn't have associated with her on many different levels. And yet, he spoke to her and said, "Will you get me a drink?" He didn't let her race, her social status, or her gender deter him from going out of his way and reaching out to her. Paul, later on in Galatians, writes this, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise." Jesus didn't let her race, her gender, or social standing get in the way of reaching out to her. Jesus knows all about us. He knows our past, our history. He knows our story. He knows where we've come from. He knows our parents. He knows all about us. And yet, that nothing in your past can deter him, can stop him using it and redeeming it for his glory. This woman wouldn't have talked to her, but he knew her past. He knew the differences that existed, and yet he reached out to her. There isn't anything in your past that can limit God doing stuff through you, using you to reach out to other people. The second thing to highlight that Jesus knows about this woman is also fairly obvious. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus knew that this woman needed the living water. He knew that she needed that living water and only he could offer it. I'm sure that Jesus was aware of many of her needs. But he knew her deepest need was life by the Spirit. And in the same way that Jesus knew this woman's need, her deepest need, he knows ours too, and it is the same need. Each one of us has a fundamental need for a relationship with God, to be reconciled to him, to be spiritually reborn, and to have life by the Spirit. In John's Gospel, he says, earlier on in John's Gospel, he says, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by me saying, you must be born again. Our deepest need is not just simply a one-off rebirth. Yes, it is important that we are born again. That is a fundamental need for all of us, that we are born of the Spirit. But our need is more than just a one-off rebirth. It is life that is continually renewed by the Spirit. And Jesus came to meet that need. He knows that we have that need, and he is there day by day to meet that need for us, that we can go on being filled with the Spirit. And he's delighting and wanting to do that in each and every one of us. The third thing to highlight that Jesus knows about this woman is the one on which most people focus when preaching on this passage. Verse 16 says, he told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you are now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Jesus knew this woman's darkest and deepest secrets. And yet, here he was offering to give her living water. And it's the same for us. Jesus knows our darkest secrets. And as the words of one of our worship songs says, you see the depths of my heart, and you love me the same. Or in the words of Scripture in Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ dies for us. The amazing thing is that God knows our darkest secrets and yet loves us so much that he provides a way in which we can deal with the sins in our lives, particularly those that lie hidden. We often don't want to tell people of our darkest secrets, the things that go on in the deep recesses of our minds, because we're embarrassed. We don't know what people will think of us as a result. And yet, we know what Jesus thinks. Jesus loves us the same. He knew us in our darkest moments. He knows us in our darkest moments. And yet, it doesn't colour his love one bit. And yet, whilst he loves us in our darkest moment, what he wants us to do is deal with the hidden sin. Like this woman, we won't be able to reach the living water until that hidden sin is sorted out. So he calls us to deal with that, and he gives us the way in which to do it. And it is through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we'll be focusing on that as we enter a time of reflection. You may think there are things in your past that disqualify you from God's service, but that's not the case. Jesus can redeem your story, however dubious or dull, and he can use it for his glory. The Samaritan woman bears witness to how those who spend time in the presence of Jesus can have their past transformed so as to bring others to him. You may believe your deepest need is for a partner, to get a new job, to pass your exams, to be able to sleep, to be pain-free. But I've got news for you. Your deepest need is spiritual regeneration. And Jesus knows it. And he can meet it. The Samaritan woman bears witness to how lives can be transformed by the presence of Jesus who meets our deepest spiritual need for life by the Spirit. You may not be keen for anyone to know your darkest secrets because of how they may treat you as a result. But Jesus knows them and yet loves you the same. So get them sorted. This Samaritan woman bears witness to how lives can be transformed by the presence of Jesus, who knows our deepest secrets, yet loves us so much that he provides a way in which we can get them sorted. Let's pray, the band returns. Jesus, we thank you that you know us from the inside out. You know everything about us. You know our past. You know our present. You know our darkest secrets, you know everything there is to know about us. You know us better than we know ourselves. And we come and we ask you to cleanse us. We ask you to deal with the sin that so easily entangles us, that you would cause us to live life to the full by the power of your Spirit. We pray that you would move in us now, as we continue to worship you and lay our lives before you.